Flute fans, Alton Brown here. It's the Alton Brown Cast, and I'm pretty excited about today. I'm going to interview someone that I've been a fan of since I was really young, like, 13, 14 years old. We're going to be talking to Valerie Bertinelli, the star of Hot in Cleveland, of course, and the legendary Barbara Cooper from One Day at a Time. If you were a boy and you grew up in the 70s, you're already feeling something stirring deep inside of you at the mere thought of Valerie Bertinelli. She's actually a real sweetheart. We're going to be talking to her and her husband, Tom, who came along. He's a really cool guy, too. We'll be talking to them on the show. So stick around. It's only going to be about an hour, and you weren't going to do anything better with it anyway.
Hi, it's Valerie Bertinelli. I'm here with Alton Brown, and we're going to talk.
Well, she's pretty good at that. You should get yourself a podcast.
We've been to... Jonathan Sawyer's restaurant, the Greenhouse Tavern, which is unbelievable.
I personally think maybe at the top 10 restaurants in America.
Hopefully, he's still making his pretzels, too, because he started making his pretzels after we left, and I saw him tweeting about those pretzels. My mouth is watering just thinking about it. I love pretzels! The best sandwich I ever had was in France when I was doing the opening credits for a show that I did. I was only there for 3 days, and we were doing lunch on the run, and there was this little... place, and we went in and grabbed some sandwiches. They were in a pretzel. This was back in 92, 93, before pretzel bread was the big deal.
Right.
And it was perfectly salted, just ham, butter. Oh, my mouth is watering.
I understand.
Ham,
you
butter,
got me going
and pretzel
now.
Bread. And I just went, oh my God, can I have... And I never had another sandwich like that again. There are certain things that just, Of course, that evening, I tried... some sort of brains thing that I had no idea. I thought it was mozzarella. I'm like, ooh, that mozzarella looks good. I pick it up. I'm like, that's a little chalky for mozzarella. It wasn't mozzarella. It was some kind of brain that I did.
Some kind of brain.
Yeah. I don't remember. I don't know French very well, but I think he said something like monkey brains, but I don't know. I can't remember.
No,
I can't imagine it was monkey
brains. No, that's
it had
illegal.
To be something else.
What about the coffee in Tanzania?
Tasmania.
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah. Tasmania, yeah, best coffee.
Tasmania.
Ever. It was at the airport. I'd taken Wolfie to see his dad. This was in 93, 94 again, the '90s. And I love good coffee. I mean, there's some coffees out there, but if you put a coffee bean in water and tell me that's coffee, I'll be like, no, it's not worth it. I won't have coffee that day. But this coffee, we were in, it was like a gift shop, cafeteria thing in Tasmania. The plane was waiting for us, and I'm drinking this coffee going, oh God, please no, wait, save. And it was a private flight because it was Van Halen flying wherever they fly to. And I was like, yeah, I got to get one more cup. Wolfie to this day still remembers me sobbing because I couldn't find out where the coffee beans were, and my mouth is watering again. And I don't even know the name of the place where I had that amazing cup
back.
Of coffee. I don't know where I was. It was someplace in Tasmania.
Well, there aren't that many places with airports in Tasmania. Trust me.
No.
I assume that it was a relatively large jet, probably a Gulfstream.
Yes.
How many strips could there be that could take a Gulfstream in Tasmania?
I'm
thinking
don't know.
Maybe 10. Yeah, we can work that out.
Oh, that coffee was just... But it was perfectly made. I didn't make it. I didn't put the sugar in. I didn't put the milk in. They did it all, and it was just... indescribable.
Sometime before you leave New York, right down in the market, Chelsea Market, is 9th Street Espresso.
Okay,
it's right in here.
Yeah, it's near the Falling Water. It's near the water.
Okay.
It's right next to
Let's
the water.
Let's go get it. I didn't have a cup of coffee today.
The Americano. Just ask for a small Americano.
Americano.
It will be definitive. I think it's the best coffee
well,
in New York.
Well, that's how we'll leave here then.
I'm super picky about that. Okay, I come in the morning, I get a cappuccino, and then in the afternoon I get an Americano.
I'll have an Americano right now.
Yeah. I want to know... how long is this Iron Chef? It was on your list. Everybody's seen your list.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that apparently now you
well,
can...
Well, we were talking a year
you
ago
and I
for me
have
to come
talked
out
for
and
a
do
while.
This. And
although we've never actually physically met.
No. But I feel like I know you because I've watched you on television.
And I have watched you on television a little bit longer than you've watched me on television.
But I do. You're just the same as you are on TV.
So are you.
It's just so weird.
And yet not. Yeah,
it's like I just feel like you. Cool.
There you go.
You're cool. You're a cool
fella. So, but when did you become Food Network fans early? Your husband Tom's here.
I actually became a Food Network fan because my brother and sister-in-law, Patrick and Stacy, said, you've got to watch this show called Good Eats. And they were the first ones to, that I knew of that were TiVoing it. That's when TiVo was first, really, like in 2000, I got my first TiVo.
The DVR.
Right.
I was
like, oh my God, it changed television because then you can DVR Good Eats and you can DVR these shows that you love and you can watch them, you know, when you want to watch them.
Yep. Anytime you want.
But so they got me into Good Eats.
Now, were you a cook?
I saved them.
I mean, you're Italian.
I'm Italian.
So you're a cook.
I've been around cooking and I see cooking, but there is no. I mean, I'm very intimidated being in this building because these are where real people cook, and I'm like, I still have to read recipes to make sure that it turns out okay.
Well, a lot of people that don't cook with recipes don't cook with them because they just can't follow the things.
Well, I still have trouble following some of them.
Don't want to be bossed around.
But that's what I loved about your shows is that you. I mean, we've kept some of the ones. What was the steak? How you teach about steak and why it needs to be cooked a certain way and why you like it cooked a certain way. And I like learning about stuff.
Do you feel that most of the recipes that you read or that you cook from don't teach you anything, or have you found now that you can teach yourself?
I find that the more I cook, the more I learn, but I still, one of my dreams is to go to culinary school one day. And I walk by these culinary schools, you know, in L.A., right around the corner from, whose restaurant? Not Adam's restaurant. I also want to needlepoint more, and I also want to, you know, I also have, you know, another job, and I also, you know, have, you know, I'm a foster for kittens, so I have, like, all these things that I want to do, and I'm slowly getting through my bucket list. And I'm 53, so I better get a move on.
Whoa, come on. 53, really?
But, yeah, culinary school, we wanted to do it together because that's one of our, that's a date night for my husband and I.
So you cook together. You cook a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you were already a cook?
Well, no, I'm not a cook. I want to preface it. So I grew up in the restaurant business, washing dishes, folding pizza boxes, and I worked my way up to an assistant chef,
We call those sous chefs. It sounds better.
No, yeah. It was an assistant.
Back then it was assistant in mom and pop's Italian restaurant.
You know.
Or your aunt and uncles.
And did all of it. Did it all. Up until about 16, 17. Then I left.
You were done with that.
I was a waiter in college, but that was it.
Better money.
Much
by
better,
a long shot.
Better.
Better life expectancy.
He actually has more cooking experience than I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I have more watching cooking experience. Like, my Food Network was watching my noni in my aunt's basement kitchen.
Where
cook.
Was that?
That was in Claymont, Delaware. I started to see the street, but I better not give out the street. And, you know, because the kitchens back in the old days, you used your basement. That's where everybody did. And still, we've gone back there just recently, and they're still using the basement, and her kitchen on the regular floor is all beautiful and perfect and never used.
But the hardcore stuff was
all
in the basement.
In the basement, yeah.
So
and her freezer and everything, all of her cappelletti is in the freezer in the basement, and her gnocchi and all that stuff.
What does she actually have to cook with down there?
Everything.
So she's got a whole other kitchen.
A whole other kitchen and
oven,
a big table
everything.
Yeah. Well, my grandmother's gone now, but my Aunt Adeline, she's the one that...
Now, is this just your family or
no,
is this
too.
Oh, her,
the same thing where
you've
got a basement
A whole
kitchen.
Entire kitchen in the basement. We did canning. We did everything. Bottling. We did peppers. We made sausage. We did it all.
He has much
I have not heard
that.
Of this basement
what?
Kitchen phenomenon.
Alton Brown hasn't heard of the... Oh, my God.
This is crazy.
I cannot believe something Alton Brown doesn't know.
All right.
You're supposed to be the smartest person in the room.
No, I'm only when it's me and a couple of dead people. The smartest guy in there. But was this to preserve the perfection of the upstairs kitchen?
Well, maybe it's because of all East Coast.
It was cooler, number one. Yeah. The mess was downstairs.
So you could go upstairs. Yeah. I'll have to ask my Aunt Adeline why the basement. I never did. All these years, I just assumed that's where we go. And plus, I had the big tables.
Do you have a basement kitchen?
I don't.
Because you live in L.A., so there's no basement.
Yeah. Well, we built a wine cellar. So that could, but there's not a lot of cooking doing that.
Ooh. Do you really have a wine cellar with a kitchen in it?
Yeah. Next time you're in L.A., you'll have to come visit it.
It's beautiful.
Shut up.
It was a swimming pool.
So you had a swimming pool, and then one day you looked at the swimming pool and said, you know what, this really ought to be?
A wine cellar.
Is it a wine cellar?
Yeah, after we went to Italy. Because we didn't like the pool where it was.
And it was leaking.
And it was leaking. It was in very bad shape. And the way to fix it would have to tear it all apart anyway. And that was really expensive. And then filling it in was really expensive. So our architect came up with this great idea. I said, well, you love wines. Yes, I do. And
start buying them then.
We have, our den is filling up with boxes and boxes now, especially going up to the Central Coast in Paso Robles. I love the Zinfandels up there.
Yep.
Yummy.
All right, I have a serious question for you. And only because something in your list of 25 things struck a nerve with me. I have a daughter. I have a 13-year-old daughter. Her name is Zoe. And Zoe is a middle school cheerleader.
Okay.
You?
Yes.
We're a middle school cheerleader. Now,
yes.
Here's the thing. My biggest worry.
I have 40 years on Zoe.
My biggest worry about my daughter, who is smart and beautiful, is keeping her head in a good place about food, body image. As someone who has spent a lot of time in the health trenches, like myself, we both have lost 50 pounds in our adult lives and know how hard that is. Do you consider yourself now to be, or can you be, a role model for girls to live healthier lives with better relationships with food? And if so, how about some advice for my 13-year-old?
That's the key, the relationship with food.
Relationship.
It's not that food is bad, it's not evil, which is what it became for me, because I abused food. I used food to quell any feelings I didn't want to feel. And that's the unhealthy thing about, not about food, but what I was doing with food.
No, your problem wasn't food, your problem was eating.
Exactly, too much. It's about finding a way to stop the voices. All the negative voices in your head and around you. And God, Zoe doesn't have it easy because she's got Facebook and she's got Twitter and she's got all these other things that are so easy to be influenced by other people, as opposed to just the click at school, where they either like you or they don't, depending on the day and the mood of them. So the clicks have gotten bigger.
Now, you were probably a popular girl.
I wasn't. I was mid.
You're mid.
I was always, you know, jealous of the cool girls and wasn't, you know, smart enough to be nerdy. So I was kind of stuck in the middle.
Did food start being a problem for you then?
Absolutely.
Did you always have an unhealthy relationship with food? I did.
No, I didn't, because food to me was always love and being around family. So that I didn't find unhealthy. But when it started to be where I was noticed or recognized for not having the perfect body, which I look back at these pictures now, I'm like, are you kidding me? I was adorable. Why did I not see that? I just saw an ugly little fat girl, and I wasn't fat. But I had one of my fifth grade teacher, you know, pat my belly and go, you better keep an eye on that. You know,
Fifth grade.
I'm like, what? Now I look back and think, what are you thinking?
She's probably dead now.
So dude,
it was a man.
It was a man.
He patted you on your belly.
Patted me on my belly.
Well, so
I was around. I was surrounded.
He would be in jail now.
First off,
if that happened at my school, I'd go beat them and then have them arrested.
Yeah, well, I never told anybody either, because it was in, you know, two and three of my girlfriends. We were sitting around talking to him. I admired him. And he was just like, you want to keep an eye on that. And, you know, my father, too, he didn't have the, God, I love you, Dad, but he'll never hear this. He doesn't know how to work a computer.
Well, good. We can say anything. My mom doesn't either. So
but
okay.
I mean, I love him, but he didn't quite know how to, you know, he had boys and I was his only girl, and you know sit up straight and look at Robin, look how good she looks, and look at so-and-so, and why can't you do that? It's like, I didn't need to hear, I already had those voices. I didn't need them to be out loud by other people. So that kind of started to mess me up. And of course, at that age, it was easier to eat, you know, because I didn't want to feel those feelings, and the food tasted good.
But you were getting, surely, nothing but positive during the one day at a time years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were considered.
I never knew it. I never, and I'm grateful that I never knew that little boys kissed the television set as my husband.
That is a little messed up. I talked to her a few times, but I didn't kiss the screen.
I admit it.
It's a really good thing I didn't know that. Or
you kissed it too,
aren't you? Oh golly.
Well, let's face it. The thing about Barbara was she was one of the only real girls on TV. She seemed very real.
She was.
She was a chunk of you.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us that were males growing up during that time, there weren't normal, nice girls on TV. So, but you had years of being
But I didn't know it was more pressure because you're on television. And if you gain a couple pounds, it's like, you know, we have to go up a size in jeans, Valerie. This isn't, you know, you might want to, you know, think about what you're eating.
Just like the pat on the belly.
Yeah, and then Mackenzie, who was super skinny, I looked up to her. And it's still, every day it's a choice to try and choose or to do your best to choose healthy. And I don't always win. Today I was on the treadmill, like, running my butt off, and tomorrow morning I'm going to be on the treadmill running my butt off so I can eat like crazy tomorrow. But like, how odd is that, though, that food has become... Because you were talking about it with your podcast with Bobby Flay, how it's become this, like, you guys are rock stars now.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
It's true.
How did it start? I mean, I know Bobby's idea of when it started, when the Iron Chef, when he did it in Japan.
That's when it started for him.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, in earnest. I truly believe that it comes down to the fact that
when
it's
did it start
a culture...
For you? I interrupted you. I apologize.
No, it's fine. For me, I don't know, because I think it happened without me paying any attention.
A lot of stuff.
Because, you know, I never lived...
That makes sense.
...here. I never lived... I mean, I live in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. In my house, you know, and because I came from the filmmaking side, I just was always shooting, and I'm working, and I spent a lot of time in dark rooms with a lot of lights. I mean, same as you, but so none of it really registered for me. But I do think that I understand why we have networks like this and why food shows are so popular. I think it comes down to the fact that as a culture, we don't have a lot of connective tissue anymore. We're very kind of shattered. We live online. A lot of people, you know, we don't have big society anymore. Mm-hmm. We have 700 channels. Nothing holds us together anymore. Mm-mm. We don't believe the same things religiously or politically. What do we have to connect us better than food? I don't know that there is anything.
It is. Food is a great equalizer because we all have to,
everybody likes it. Uh-huh. There are people that don't like food because they have unhealthy things going on with food. But by and large, everybody likes food. It connects us to our families.
Mm-hmm.
It connects us to our heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And it connects us to everybody else, you know? So I think that people sense that. And that it is infinitely interesting as a connective, like a switchboard to every subject.
And we all think we can do it.
We can do it. Some people do it better than others. Mm-hmm. But I swear, most of the people I know that say they can't cook actually just won't cook.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or they cook for different reasons. Like, my wife doesn't like to cook. She likes to bake. Because she
says... Wow, that's harder.
Baking, no. Because to her, she's like, I'm going to follow this recipe. I'm going to follow it exactly and precisely, and it will produce the exact same thing every time.
Right.
She said, living with you, I need that in my life. I need something that is completely predictable. I need something that comes out the same every time. Well, when you realized that you had to do something, or you were finally going to do something, how much of it was changing what you ate, and how much of it was dealing with your body from a physical activity level, from an exercise level?
For me, it was pretty... It was started by changing my diet drastically by going on a program. And then it got to be, boy, it makes it easier if I'm moving. And then I can indulge a little bit more if I move a little bit more. But
right.
I'm still not there. I still... My weight fluctuates by 10 pounds because I'm still haven't gotten... Whatever it may be, that click in your head. I mean, granted, I used to fluctuate 30, 40 pounds, so it's only 10 pounds now, which is great, but it's still a challenge. It's a whole size. So it's a challenge every single day, especially when I'm traveling, when I'm here in New York and I want to try every great restaurant here. I have to keep moving, go to the gym and have fun. I mean, and not eat three meals a day. Although when we went to Italy, we ate three meals a day and we walked 10 miles a day minimum. Nothing.
You can do that. You can do that because you're moving so fast.
Right. As long as you're constantly moving. I mean, that's why the people in Europe, you don't see as many heavy people unless they're hanging around the American fast food restaurants.
Are there foods you just can't, you shouldn't
Never.
Look at?
Never.
No. Is there something that it's like, I don't look at that. I don't do that.
No.
Really?
I haven't had a jalapeno popper since I stopped eating them before Jenny Craig, but I think that's just because I know.
Are there no poppers on Jenny Craig?
No.
Can't you talk to them?
No cheddar cheese jalapeno poppers. No. Deep fried. No.
Was that something that you bought like at a gas station?
That was something
station?
That I
Did
would.
You go out in the middle of the
I
night
would
and buy them
literally.
At gas
oh, so no, I would buy boxes of them in the frozen section, cook the entire box for dinner, and have a big vodka cranberry, and that was my dinner. It was very sad.
What?
I was a very sad person.
Was that before you, Tom?
You can actually see. Yeah, it was way before him. You can actually see when I was doing Touched by an Angel, my weight by the very end of Touch by an Angel, I'm 175 pounds. I started Touch by an Angel at 140. You just see in 2 years, I go...
That's when I met her.
And that was this was all emotional eating?
All emotional. I was away from my son. I was flying. I was in the airport 5 times a week, sometimes more, flying home, putting my son to bed, getting back on the next plane. This is all before 9/11. At least, and then 9/11 happened for the second part of the year, and I couldn't fly home to see him as quickly, and my marriage was falling apart. It was pretty horrible.
There are foods that I simply cannot have.
Really? And you don't allow yourself?
No, because they were just bad. And they're both liquids. I didn't really get my weight under control until I quit drinking diet soda.
Yes, I don't drink diet soda, so how many did you drink a day?
5 minimum.
Wow.
5 minimum.
And you think because it says zero calories, but it's what the other ingredients that are messing with your system.
I don't even think it's that. I'll be really honest. I think it's how the human brain deals with sweetness and what it tells you need. And it's like when I was drinking a lot of diet soda, it would have sat me down with a 1-pound bag of peanut M&Ms. And I could have eaten that bag and felt okay. Then I got off of the diet sodas and found that like 3 months later, if you gave me like a little handful of them, I would eat them and be like, oh, crap, I feel kind of woozy. Because my brain had been at this sweet, 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 sweet. And then when that was gone, it was kind of like sweet went back to where it ought to be.
Right.
And the other thing I would do, I don't drink milk. Because milk is the evil friend that tells you to do things. Milk said to me, there are Girl Scout cookies. Come on, let's go get those. Because I didn't want Girl Scout cookies unless I had milk, or chocolate chip cookies unless I had milk. It was my late at night.
Your chocolate chip recipe is like,
yeah, it's good, but I don't make it anymore.
You don't make it anymore.
Well, when
like
we make
people
it,
like I, talk about your chocolate chip recipe like it's like. It's the end-all and be-all. I haven't made them yet, but I'm going
to. It's good.
To.
It's good. In my house,
I'm afraid to make them because I'm afraid I'll like them.
In my house, we don't bake the cookies. We just eat the dough. I would rather have chocolate chip cookie batter than cookies.
Yeah, I've done that too. Yeah, that's
now,
not good.
Having this problem and knowing that you're going to have this problem for the rest of your life, how's that affected your mothering?
I tried to not talk about food. I tried it just... food was there because, you know, when you came home from school, mom's cooking dinner while you're doing homework at the table, and that's just the way I grew up, so that's the way I wanted him to grow up. But food was never bad or good. And I never used food to give him treats, or at least I don't... Oh, God, I hope I didn't. I might have.
As rewards?
As a reward. I might have done that, which is a messed up thing to do. That's not a good thing to do, I don't think. You know, if you do this, we'll go get ice cream.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
But they did it to us.
They did.
I mean, it was done to me.
Yeah. I would hope that I would change that part. But I don't think I did it a lot, but I probably did do it. But I never, ever, ever told him he needed to lose weight. He needed to do this. I just I kept him busy. He was in soccer. Mm-hmm. He played basketball. He played baseball. He played all the, you know... sports when you get out of school. I mean, we actually had Tuesday nights was one of my favorite nights with him because instead of going home to make dinner, we would go to one of our favorite restaurants in town, Il Tiramisu, and it's still there. And I'd sit and have a glass of wine, and he'd have his favorite pasta fagioli. And this was after soccer practice, and he'd do his homework at the table. And it was just a really fun little Italian restaurant that we'd go to, and that was Tuesday nights. You know,
I like that.
Yeah. Thursday nights was meatloaf at home. That's what me making meatloaf. I tried to keep things consistent, but I don't know. I kind of beat myself up about parenting sometimes, and he knows that I do.
Job.
But he's still a really, really nice young man.
Well, I don't think anybody that raises a kid in this day and age... it's got to be the most challenging... I believe it to be the most challenging thing in my entire life. Many fans now? I mean, I think Hot in Cleveland's a really cool show.
I love that show.
I like the attitude for that show. Do you ever find people that are trying to connect the dots from characters in your career who have a hard time doing it? Or are there people that say, was Barbara really you, and now is
Melanie?
Melanie's really
definitely
you?
A heightened version of me.
Because
the writers watch me and they watch my neuroses and they like write
like
that, and I'm like, wait a minute, did you
turned up to 12?
Yeah, yeah.
What did he say?
Life
is art.
Yeah, art is life.
Art
whatever.
Is life.
And Barbara was definitely me, but with words, you know, that
just
I put said.
It was still just you. I just wonder if you have fans that ever look at both ends of that polarity and
well, when,
try
but
to
when
pull
it comes to the
something.
TV movies I've done, I mean, I've scared the heck out of his mom because if I played a murderer. So yeah. She was like, oh, "Are you sure you want to?"
And you were, a good murderer.
I thought it was a
nice angle on your personality, personally.
Yeah. Don't want to play those characters anymore. I actually got hives playing one of those characters, and I think you let too much of that negativity in. I'm starting to sound granola-ish, but
well, no, I mean, think about it. It's like I've wondered about when Heath Ledger died. You know, how much of that was him trying to get the Joker out
right.
of his system?
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at certain performances. That right. get inside your head, mm-hmm. how do you get that out?
Right. And so, he really consumed himself with that role, from what I understand. And when you're playing somebody that difficult, I forget the name of the role that I played, but she murdered a child in Chicago, and she was a real-life person, and I just felt like I was just being consumed by her at
a certain
point.
So why did you take the role?
Because I wanted to see if I could do it, and it frightened me, and if I... You know, feel the fear
killer.
And do it anyway.
You play a great killer.
And don't freaking forget it.
Steel eyes.
Yeah.
I've seen him
sometimes
before.
He's seen those eyes, not on camera.
Well,
he calls
all
me cold
us,
face, or like I get like this ice wall goes up. I could have done the challenge today because, you know, I get this ice thing that happens when I get angry. But anger is just a secondary emotion. I'm really hurt.
I know.
Oh, is that what they say?
You have to tell them what happened the other day when you built the wall. And I read about it on Twitter.
Did you build a wall?
Oh,
and I read about it on Twitter.
I did. I was like, done with him. I'm like, I am done. I didn't even tell him I was done. I was a done.
But you told Twitter you were done.
I don't know. And then I saw this quote that I really loved that, who did it? I don't remember now.
A woman.
It was a philosopher who I, you know, don't know much
Where did you
about.
Stumble over this line from a woman philosopher?
Because I was looking for quotes to make me feel better. So I was Googling quotes. I was Googling quotes about forgiveness and anger.
What did you do?
Nothing serious, I'm sure.
No, it probably wasn't anything. I don't even remember now. Isn't that scary?
I just remember the
anger.
Well, let's. You won't get very good.
Did you favorite
anymore,
it?
I'm afraid.
Did you favorite my tweet? But the quote was.
What was the gist?
Building up walls. Oh, I don't even remember.
Yeah, people who build up walls are actually wanting. Or they build them to see who cares enough to break them down.
Right. Something that's the paraphrasing the quote. It was actually much more eloquently said. But.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So what'd you do?
Oh, that's right. Oh,
does
my
it all
God.
Come tumbling back
oh,
now?
Oh, yes. Oh, honey, that's right. It was first time he's ever done it.
What did he do? I want to
know.
He
made me breakfast in bed.
What did you make?
And it was, and he even made my coffee the way I like my coffee. In the Moda thing with the you put it on the stove, the old-fashioned way.
The old
Moleta thing. Yeah,
just sunny side up.
A sunny side up egg and some sliced tomatoes and salted perfectly.
The problem
with cheese,
a little bit of feta.
Feta cheese.
A little feta. The problem is once they know you can do that. I mean, she's gonna be a judge on Iron Chef.
I'm so excited about that.
Now, but are you a little nervous about it?
Not
being
anymore.
A judge on Iron Chef.
Not anymore. The only thing I'm nervous about, and I'll go home and or go back to the hotel and look up, I'll get a thesaurus out. I don't want to say the word delicious.
No.
Not even once.
Don't.
I don't want to say that. And I'm going to try and come up with any kind of word that I can use besides delicious. And what was the other thing
We've
I didn't want to do?
That.
We've been practicing.
Delicious is the most dreaded of all food reviews because it means nothing.
It means nothing.
It is the descriptors.
Right.
So
I have to come up with other ways to say this is delicious.
Wow. The floral of this.
Oh, I can smell
it. I love the way
that
the sweetness and the texture of this and that. Because then people at home go, oh.
Because you're describing what you're tasting.
You're actually describing it.
So that's what that's going to be my biggest effort, is to actually really try and describe exactly what I'm eating.
And take it apart, you know? I mean, you've got to kind of... People expect you to tell a story of what's on the plate. The best judges can tell a story.
You know,
what I'm getting here. And you've got to be critical. My thing is two likes and a dislike. This is good.
But if I really don't like it... But I mean, if I really do like it, I can't...
But you can say, you know, if I have any criticism at all, it's that blah, blah, blah. Or, but I do think it's, you can always make fun of the salt, though. You know, make fun, but I think it's a little salty. It's always a great callback. Burns chefs terribly. See, emotional stuff of, you know, this reminds me of, or, oh my gosh, this is like, you know.
I don't know what the special ingredient is.
I can't tell you. I have to go do the wrap-up for this show, so.
Oh, we missed all the eating.
You know what? That's the boring part. Unless
Excuse
you're doing
me,
it.
That's my part.
Well, I know, but you're actually going to be doing it. You actually
that's
get
right.
to
you
eat.
Can't, yeah. So you don't get to eat. I feel bad for you, actually.
You know what? Oh, the story. Yeah. I'll tell you. So when Iron Chef started here, Iron Chef America started, we did a 4-part miniseries called Battle of the Masters.
Right.
And we shot it out at LA Center Studios. Yeah, we were at LA Center Studios. And it was just 4 episodes. And they brought in all of the remaining Iron Chefs from Japan. If you're a fan of the original show, Sakai and all these other guys. Mm-hmm. And Morimoto, but also Mario Batali and Bobby Flay. Anyway, I tasted everything. And next to the last day of shooting, Chef Sakai, who was, you know, kind of this highly venerated Japanese chef, he made like a soup. And I thought that I knew everything that was in it. When I turned about 30, I developed a horrible intolerance to oysters. You give me an oyster, and it's not allergic. I just start throwing up and can't stop. So he had made something with oyster broth without telling anybody. And so I eat, and everything's fine. I didn't know about it. And I go back to the hotel. About midnight, I start feeling bad. Hmm. About 3, I start throwing up and can't stop. But I got a shoot day to do. So I come to work, and I can't keep down water. I can't keep down anything. And I actually was doing, you know, had the same kind of podium, but I had a trash can that I was puking into. But there's nothing really left to puke anymore. Anyway, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my heart went into arrhythmia.
Yeah.
I had dehydrated.
Oh, dear God.
I had dehydrated so much that my heart went.
Because that's 12 hours later. That's 12 hours of throwing up.
And so I ended up, I didn't even quite finish the show. They had to take me to the hospital, and I was in a coronary ward for 24 hours.
Oh, dear God.
To get it straightened out. So what I learned is you don't frickin' eat the food on Iron Chef, because if I get sick, there's no replacement for me.
Yeah, but if I get sick,
no, we'll just cart you out. Yeah. we'll stick you on the next flight
to
LA.
It's
a
good TV.
Yeah, it makes for great TV. Besides, odds are you won't start getting that kind of sick until about an hour after the show.
Yeah. I'll call you.
You'll be gone. You'll be gone. So unless it's something you just hate.
No. I just once ate way too much uni, and that's why I didn't. I just made that request. That's the only thing.
Thank you all.
All right, kids, I think that's about enough for today. You probably have something you need to get back to. I'm Alton Brown. This has been the Alton Browncast. Thanks for listening. And I want to extend, again, a gracious thank you to Valerie Bertinelli for dropping by and being on the show today. She was a pretty cool kid. And it's always groovy to find out that you've got, you know, a celebrity out there who's actually a big fan of you. It kind of freaks me out a little bit. And she got me some really good backstage passes to the Van Halen concert. Just saying. So thanks a lot. And we'll talk to you next week. And in the meantime, America, cook smart.